uncensored, no holds barred talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
Gentlemen, welcome to another live edition of the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. This is a late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. And it is Tuesday, May 17th. And I guess after you go to sleep, it'll officially be Wednesday, May 18th. But either way, we're here with you tonight and live, and we're glad you could join us. We are going to be getting into some of the news and information that we have on the table today. Not a lot of it. And as I've been noting over the past several weeks since the Bin Laden fiasco had broken out, it seems that the news cycles have been effectively steered back where the power center wants them to be steered to. So very interesting stuff. And there is a certain pattern in the news that's starting to happen right now. And I find it highly interesting. We've talked about it a bit here on the show. Of course, we'll talk about it again tonight. And a lot of these news stories that we do have tonight, we don't have a lot. I'll probably do like one section of news tonight, and then we're going to be reading from William Bramley's The Gods of Eden, continue in our series. And we're going to be starting tonight on chapter 35, Saint Germain Returns. Remember that? We talked about the Count of Saint Germain and how apparently he was an immortal, you know. I am Connor McLeod from the Clan MacLeod. I should have known. I should have known that the fucking immortals would come into the fold at some point. But it's always the one thing in science fiction, wasn't it? That, you know, because everything else that we've seen in science, quote unquote science fiction, has been mirrored in things that we found in reality. And the whole immortals thing was always one that never was in there. And then started reading this Gods of Eden, and all of a sudden they start talking about the Count of Saint Germain and all these reports of people that people seeing this guy, 50, 7,500 years after he was dead. Unbelievable stuff. So we're going to be getting into more of that tonight. It's going to get more into a lot of the Brotherhood stuff and the, other angles of the secret society information. So we'll be getting into that tonight. Love to hear from you as well. If you have emails you'd like to send in tonight, or anytime, I'll do my best to answer them. I think I do have a few here on the show, and I'll try to see if I can get into a few of them. I think they're just short ones, but questions, comments, if you've got anything like that, please send it to my email address, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. It's globalrealityshow@gmail.com, and I'll do my best to get into all those questions and comments that you have here, and I'd love to have them, and I will answer stuff during the show live. Maybe I need to clarify that sometimes. Maybe, I will answer it live if you have a question. That's how you do it. So send it there, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. My website where this broadcast originates from, in case you're listening on a YouTube or YouTube clip or anything else later on, is www.theglobalreality.com. It's www.theglobalreality.com, and that is where you find the listen links, the archives from past shows, news. We've got all kinds of my films and various audio clips from past shows are up there. All my documentary films are up there as well, including Secret Volume 1. So definitely go and check all that stuff out at theglobalreality.com, the broadcast where this show originates and where this network originates from. So thank you for tuning in and being with us here tonight. We also have the Chipman banner and the donate button there at the website as well, so you can support our work, and please do so there. Thank you so much to everybody who has supported us. We just can't do it without you, and it's can't thank all those people out there who pledge to us every month and help us survive and live and keep going and digging and keep this thing pushing forward. So I salute those people. So thank you so much. What do I want to dive into here news-wise tonight? I don't know. Well, it's getting really thick with this. Anybody else but me getting the idea that the alien card may be getting played really soon? I mean, we've seen a ramp-up of this over the past 3 or 4 years through the media, through television, through, television shows like V and then Ancient Aliens on History Channel. And it's just, it's everywhere. And then all these movies that are coming out, everybody's got an alien invasion movie coming out now. You guys notice that there's like some new one that's coming out on TNT with like Noah Wyle or something. And it looks like, citizens fighting for their lives at Red Dawn style after the aliens invade. I mean, it's getting thick, and there's becoming a thread through the news and apparently through the scientific community that mirrors that. So we'll be discussing that here tonight on the show. Let's see. Let me go through my... by the way, all of you who kept sending me this clip about people dying from the transformer explosions that happened in Fort Worth that we talked about last week. I've said this a million times on the show, but let me say it for the umpteenth million time. Anything that says Sorcha Fall, S-O-R-C-H-A-F-A-A-L, Sorcha Fall is a known CIA disinfo operator. They have their website, whatdoesitallmean.com, and all that stuff. There's nothing that's ever come out of those that's ever happened. They make all these wild predictions. Kissinger said he's going to round all the shotguns up or all the guns up in the United States by December. And then that was 5 years ago. Stuff like that. So just be careful and be aware that stuff's out there. And I guess people get taken by it. And then people send it to me and they go, "Oh, how come you're not covering this?" Well, I'm not covering it because it's fucking disinfo. And I don't cover disinfo. Thank you. God damn, there's enough of that in the mainstream media. Why do you have to go digging for it? Somebody sent an email and says, "Josh, could you tell me the name of the gravity bomb that you talk about sometimes?" I was wanting to look that shit up, but when I look for gravity bomb, it just says it's a drop bomb from a plane and lists a bunch of them, but nothing like you were saying. As a reference, I thought I heard you say one day that they got a bomb that they dropped from orbit or some shit. Correct me if I'm way off course, though. No, you're correct. That's what they did when they, back in 2009, remember when they said we were going to blow up the moon? I mean, straight out of a Mr. Show with Bob and David episode. That's what they were doing. It's a kinetic energy weapon, really. They it goes in orbit and they drop it from orbit and it basically leaves because of the inertia that it's pulling down. So basically like a steel, they call it the rod of God, I think is what they call it. I'm pretty sure it may be even called the rod of God. You can look that up. But if you type, blow up the moon or blows up the moon, or NASA blows up the moon or something like that, you'll hear it talked about there. But anyway, that's what they did. They tested it on the moon first because those kind of space-based orbital weapons are outlawed by all international treaties, even though we still have the technology. So in order to test a device like that, that is in violation of, worldwide international treaties against the armament of space, they had to test it on the moon in order to be able to determine what it is, because it's a great thing for them, because what they can do now is they can launch one of these things from space on a city, and it'll have the same impact that a nuclear weapon would have, but no nuclear radiation. But what I see happening with this is this idea of them using something like this, you know, a classic scenario of, claiming it's one thing when it's actually another. I see them, you know, nuking a city with one of these things and then claiming that it was some Al-Qaeda dirty nuke. And then they, you know, evacuate everybody out or whatever. I don't know. But yeah, I would just look into that. You can find that pretty well easy there. Let's see what else we have here. Somebody said, hey, Josh, I was emailing Max Egan about the CMP, which he hadn't heard of. I sent him the Seagrite 1.0, which appears to influence his most recent broadcast. Worth checking out if you didn't see it posted in the chat room. Keep up the good work, man. All the best to you and your family. So it's this host, Max Egan, I suppose. I've never heard of him. But I don't listen to any of this stuff anymore, so don't fault me for not even heard of him. It doesn't make someone a bad host because I haven't heard of them. There's very little. I just don't enjoy listening to this format anymore, though. I used to enjoy it. I love it. I enjoy doing it, but I don't much enjoy listening to it anymore because, I just hear it's not what they're saying. You know, it's what they're not saying. And what they don't say just drives me batshit crazy anymore, and I have no tolerance for it. So apparently this Max Egan character was talking about The Secret Right and talking about it in his show. So that's awesome. Thank you so much. What else do I have? I guess that's it. I thought I had more. Well, here's one. Here we just got one that just came in. Says, hello, I was wondering if you could compare and contrast the USA's current situation with the current situation of Weimar Germany in 1919 to the eventual takeover of the Nazi Party. Thanks, much love from South Texas, my brother, and Sorcha Fall is some serious bullshit. Yes, indeed. A report is circulating around the Kremlin. Yeah, that's... That's how they always start every one of those Sorcha Fall articles. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, I saw one time that was some story about, you know, stuff happening in Mexico, and it was like, reports circulating around the Kremlin say that, you know, blah, 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 this is going on in Mexico. I'm like, yeah, the Kremlin's got, you know, representatives down there in hot-ass Mexico reporting back what's going on. Compare and contrast the USA's current situation with the current situation of Weimar Germany in 1919. Well, and the eventual takeover of the Nazi Party. You know, I don't, I guess what the question is that, do I see a similarity between where the U.S. is right now and where, you know, Weimar Germany was in 1919 before? Well, yeah, I mean, but I think we're kind of past that, in my opinion. I think that situation is valid, and I think that comparison is valid, but, and I don't know how long you've been paying attention to this stuff. I don't know if you're a seasoned vet or been maybe researching this stuff longer than I have or a noob, but, I think we're well past that. I think that we were, and I think that we were, when we were there was probably back when Bush was in office, at least the last term of the Bush presidency, because they had leveraged us to the point where we were ripe for the pickings. We were ripe for the takeover. So, where we stand currently, I see less of a similarity between Weimar Germany in 1919, and I see it's more in pre-Stalin era Russia. Absolutely, because, they ran the same cult of personality op with Barack Obama that they ran with Joseph Stalin, where the people actually were tricked into believing that their enslaver was their, was the one that was going to set them free. And that's exactly, I saw this happening way before Obama was elected, but I think that where we were during two terms of President Bush, we were in that situation where Weimar Germany was in 1919. And then now, after, after people were just anything but Bush, we'll take anything but that. And they said, all right, well, be careful what you ask for. Here you go. It's straight out of the Communist Manifesto. It's a total fulfillment of the grand master work, but just one end of it. And this is how they've done it. So I think we're right there. The people, I think people are now starting to try or a little bit figure out. Some people are, a lot of people aren't, but some people are starting to figure out that they were sold a line with this guy and they bought into another, phony paradigm. But what do they do? What's their solution? It's all well and fine. There were people that, made a mistake and voted for Bush and they woke up to Bush while he was in office and blah, 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 didn't vote for Bush anymore and this, that, and the other. But what did they do? Well, they went kicking and screaming to whatever the next lesser evil was, Ron Paul or Dennis Kucinich or whoever other party candidate, there's a million of them that they choose. And so that's the danger. It's all well and fine that people wake up to understanding that these guys are puppets, left, right, center, doesn't matter, all controlled by the same interests. And it's all well and fine that people figure that out, and some people do figure that out, but, it's all for naught when you just go running away to another one of their traps, their controlled opposition traps that they have set for you. And that's the biggest thing you always hear people say about Ron Paul. Well, he's the best shot we got. Really? Well, if he's the best shot we got, we're fucked already. Save your money bomb change for ammo and cigarettes, whatever. But, he's the best. People say that about Obama, too. Well, he's the best chance we got. Well, if the best chance you have is a politician by proxy, folks, you're already fucked. Why can't we be the best shot we've got? Why can't we be the best chance we got? Why can't it be about the people? Why does it always have to be some, greased up, slicked up pimp? Pimp and front man and pusher for the medical industry and the arms dealers and anybody else who's got a bunch of change they want to throw around, oil industry. It's always, he's the best chance we got. They've got us so brainwashed into believing that the only way that we can fix anything for ourselves is to elect another one of them, the people that are causing all of this. Don't you see that this is how the system perpetuates itself? Because not only do they got us, but they've also got us believing that mankind's problems can be fixed by putting, they want to give you more of the problem, fix the problem with a problem. Whether it's originating from the first place. No. And you're right, Michael, who sent this email in. You're right. That comparison between us and Germany in 1919, right around that time, right before the Nazis came over. Yeah, that was a valid summation and is a good way of looking at it. But we're way past that now. And they're gonna break this country up. They're gonna splinter this country in a bunch of pieces, and people are gonna countries like China and Russia are gonna come in here into the United States and set up proxy states. You think the little Chinatown in the city where you live in is something? No. They're gonna take entire states, tri-state areas, and turn it into Asia in the Americas, or Russia. You think I'm joking? Do the research. That's where it's heading. Why is it that all these Russian tycoons and Chinese billionaires and all this stuff are the only people in this country that are buying real estate right now? The only people that are buying real estate in the United States of America, folks, are people, big bucks, billionaires from overseas. Why is that? Because when China calls in their loans and the big banks call in their loans And they send in the foreign troops that they've been training here since, what, 2007, Fort Leavenworth, Kansas? That was Army Times. To take over, they were training. I mean, we talked about it. Training to learn the cities, the grids layouts of American cities. You know, British troops. Because who do you think they're going to send in when the bank's calling their loans? So, yeah, it's all going to come crumbling down. It's all going to come crashing down. And this is exactly what they've done to get us there. The sad thing is that people think that the solution to fixing into this stuff is another one of them. Why can't you get that through your head? You know, you really, honestly, in my book, don't have to really, I don't give a goddamn if you know the melting point of jet fuel and melting point of structural steel and all that horse shit. You know, I know all that stuff too, but I'm a geek. And you know what? It really doesn't matter. If you can know and understand that no matter what you agree with somebody with or what you disagree with them about, you know, on whatever particular issue it may be, on research or whatever. I don't know of anybody out there that would disagree with that idea that, you know, you cannot fix a problem with what the problem is. It's impossible. When people understand that we are the ones that have the power, not them, their power only exists because we allow the illusion of them having power to exist. As soon as we say, nope, you don't have any power, we're not anymore, that's over. They have nothing. They're ground level again. I've tried to get this over to my audience through the years, and sometimes I feel like I've been successful at it, and other times I feel like I haven't. But again, you know, even though I've said this a lot of times on the show, you know, you have to think about what level of this, you know, it's like, what level of it do you want? Because all of it is, most of this power structure is by our design. We participate in it, and by participating in it, you acknowledge to them that the system that they created and controlled is okay and acceptable to you. That's what voting does. I mean, if everybody tomorrow decided not to use their system for one day, they'd be fucked. So our inability to wean ourselves off of their system is what keeps us in this perpetual slavery. And so how do you break that? Well, it doesn't happen fast. It doesn't happen quick. And if you're looking for fast and quick in terms of solutions when it comes to these topics, I would pack it up and go to the house now. You can't undo thousands, literally thousands of years of this all-seeing, all-pervasive power structure. You cannot undo that in a small amount of time. But as long as there are people like us out here who are documenting this stuff day by day and putting it out there, you know, we may not get all the attention and everything that we deserve now. But the fact of the matter is, as long as we keep documenting this stuff, eventually these guys are going to fuck up. And they have in many ways already, but I think they're going to do it again big eventually. And you very well may see a mass awakening of people happen because of, you know, the access to information quickly with the internet. So I foresee them doing something, getting arrogant as they always do. As they continue to ramp up what they do, they also continue to ramp up their arrogance and their hubris, don't they? So I think that's where it's heading. You know, they're going to do something that's going to finally show people, oh my God, you know, I've heard these conspiracy theorists talking about this for years. I thought they were fucking ape, you know, batshit crazy, but my God, look at what they did. it's going to be undeniable for the majority of people on the planet Earth. You might have still a few, you know, the types. You know, the types that, you know, Barack Obama could be out there on the White House lawn eating, you know, aborted babies and aborted fetuses and putting barbecue sauce on them. Oh, these are fucking good. I tell you what. Some ribs. I can't get ribs like this in Chicago. I tell you that. Hey, Biden, come get more of this shit. It's dope. Yeah. I mean, he could be out there eating babies on the fucking White House lawn. People go, oh, he's great. I love him. Black Jesus. Yeah. Same people, you know, same with Bush. There were people, you know, the guy couldn't even speak half the time. He was loaded, you know, at every press conference. But, you know, people, oh, he's great. Oh, he's the best. But I think that, I really think that's going to be an eventuality. I think it's going to be, they're going to overplay their hand and they're going to reveal themselves to us. So we have here on the news agenda tonight, lots of, as I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, lots of strange, I mean, there's not a lot of news here, but every one of these stories is just bizarre. Before we get into alien stuff, let's talk about this one. This is just one of those ones. You know, certain days, certain times, I mean, you come across stories that it blows your mind. Like, you know, the Dave Mustaine one we had a few weeks ago. Black magic ruined my life, you know. You don't expect to wake up and look at the news and see that. Lindsay Lohan freaked out by Freemason stalker. Actress tweets blurry picture of man trespassing. Apparently she, well, that's a good eye there, Lindsay. Did you get the dick out of your mouth long enough to see his fucking square and compass? How the fuck does she know he was a Mason, you know? I mean, just seriously, does Lindsay Lohan strike you as the type of person that would be able to readily identify a Freemason? Unless, of course, you know, her little Disney MK Ultra ass was around that all the time. Hello? Club 33, anybody? Walt Disney World? Or Disneyland, where the fuck it is in California? The Mean Girls star posted a grainy photo of an alleged stalker on her Twitter page Monday and received his death threats. And revealed his death threats have her seriously freaked out. Quote, this is the Freemason stalker that has been threatening to kill me while he's trespassing. She tweeted, I'm actually scared now. The blood in the cult's book was too much. Blood in the cult's book. What's that mean? Blood in the cult's book. What does that mean? Well, again, you know, she can't get the dick out of her mouth long enough to even pronounce what the name of the book is. I'm actually scared now. The blood and the cult in the book, it's too much. Get the dick out of your mouth, Lindsay. Goddamn. Drop it.
Suck Satan's cock.
All my fans, my supporters, please stand by me, she wrote. A source confirmed the alleged stalker is real, but declined to explain the cryptic references to Freemasons in the cult's book. Freemasonry is the mysterious fraternal organization referenced in movies like The Da Vinci Code and National Treasure. Photo appeared, apparently a screen grab from one of Lohan's security cameras, shows a heavyset man with dark hair, sunglasses, and a button-up shirt in a garden-like setting. It's not clear if the photo is from Lohan's current home in Venice Beach, California. So again, you know, no apparent, how does she know he's a Freemason? Is nobody going to ask that question? I mean, I'd like to, Lindsay Lohan fights the NWO one blowjob at a time. Well, she can fucking start right here. Come on. Nobody fights the NWO harder than me, Lindsay. So come suck it. You know, it's fair. Thank you for that info. I didn't know that. So now I'll call her up. We'll do it. We'll do a live blowjob interview with Lindsay Lohan. That'll be great. Oh man, that is just bizarre. And then this one. One Freemason story wasn't enough for you. Freemasons and Lindsay Lohan. It just doesn't get any better than that, does it? I mean, I can predict sometimes certain things coming down the pike before they happen, you know, because after a while of doing this, you know, you can just tell. You see patterns and you can see and you tell what they're going to do. And you're not, nobody's really special for being able to do that. It just happens to everybody. It happens to everybody after looking at this stuff for a while. But I can't honestly say that I could have called that. You know, I can't honestly say I saw the Freemasonry and Lindsay Lohan angle coming. I didn't think they'd play that card. I mean, maybe the fuck we are in the end times. I don't know. Bizarre shit, though. I do know that. Let's see what else we got here. This is. I mean, you know, we've talked about here and documented many times on the show. And we talk about this in the Secret Rite Volume 1 as well. The blood oath of the Jesuits and the blood oath of the Knights of Malta and the whole thing of, you know, swearing this allegiance to kill all Protestant Freemasons. And so, you know, going back hundreds of years ago, prior to the formation of the Adam Weishaupt version of the Illuminati, which was actually an extension of the Los Alumbrados Society that actually originated in Spain, which was tied in with St. Ignatius Loyola. He was right there on the ground, man, the guy that founded the Jesuits. You know, he's right there on the ground in the heart of the Los Alumbrados Society. Now, at that time, there was Freemasons and, the Catholics, they were very, very split and very divided. And yeah, no, they did not intermingle. But that was what the Weishaupt version of the Illuminati that he started in 1776 was all about. Because it was adding the illuminated degrees of Freemasonry to new illuminated degrees based on the information. It was that they were adding it to Freemasonry. Weishaupt was going to add it to Freemasonry, and they were calling it the Illuminated Degrees. And the reason that it was called the Illuminated Degrees is because Weishaupt had been paid, because he was a former Jesuit, and once a Jesuit, always a Jesuit. It's just like once a CIA, always CIA. You know, nobody's ex-CIA, folks. He was paid by the Vatican, Weishaupt was, to infiltrate all the Masonic lodges, the Freemasons, and find out the secrets that they had that went back to the times of Solomon's Temple. This is what the Templars had. This is what they fled up to Edinburgh, Scotland, with after, you know, their heads were called for on silver platters. But after Weishaupt formed his Illuminated Degrees of Freemasonry, that's when you started to see Freemasonry joined with Catholicism, joined with Rome, joined with the priest class. And so now, since then, there has been no separation of that. Now, they will still try to sometimes play up to that and try to act like that's the case, but really it's not. These guys are all in bed together. Freemasons, Jesuits, it doesn't matter. They're at the very top. They're all in this together. They're all part of the power structure. No need to argue over who's powerful anymore. And I'm so glad that, you know, I'm really proud of each and every one of you out there. And I'm not just saying people in our listening audience, maybe people that don't listen to my show all the time or are new to the show, but have been researching this stuff. I'm so proud of everybody out there now, because I got to tell you what, I see so little now, hardly any at all, of the, you know, this group's more powerful than that group, or, you know, this, that, and the other. I think that once people got the missing link of information that that we brought out with the CMP information, when I, you know, because I was the first guy that had a major radio show that was talking about this stuff back in 2007, and then made the first film on it in 2009, The Secret Rite Volume 1. You know, I think since then people have really figured out what these other, you know, why they need to know about the Jesuits and why they need to know about the Los Alumbrados Society and really the origins of the priest class and a lot of the stuff we've talked about in the Bramley book, because that's the other missing element. You know, it's not about, you know, arguing over who's more in, who has more power or anything else. It's really apples and oranges, because they're all serving the same power structure. So it doesn't really matter. Jews, Catholics, I mean, these guys are all in bed together at the highest levels. So listen to this. This is out of the London Telegraph today. Archbishop allows Freemason to be bishop. The Archbishop of Canterbury is at the center of a row after it emerged that he had appointed a Freemason to be bishop. Dr. Ron Williams named the Reverend Jonathan Baker as the next bishop of the Epps Fleet, despite knowing that he was an active and senior Mason. The appointment announced earlier this month marked a significant U-turn by Dr. Williams, who had previously said that Freemasonry was incompatible with Christianity and had refused to promote Masons to senior posts. Last week, as news of F.R. Baker's membership of the Masons began to circulate through the church, it provoked growing concern and criticism from clergy and members of the General Synod. When contacted by the Sunday Telegraph on Friday, F.R. Baker defended his continued membership of the Masons and insisted it was compatible with his new role as a bishop. Yet yesterday, he said that he had changed his mind and was leaving the Masons so that he could concentrate on being a bishop, adding, "I wish nothing to distract from the inauguration of that ministry." Well, I mean, see, that's what they don't know about it. I mean, once you go through the degrees, you know, that's it. You know, you go through all the degrees, you become a 32nd degree Mason. I don't think that, you know, you've already got the teachings. You've already gone through the fucking mind control, whatever it is. So if you quit and go be a bishop, you know, which is supposed to be against, you know, what both sides believe, you know, then it's no big deal because you've already gone through the degrees. Anyway, you're a fucking Mason. Doesn't matter if you're currently not one, you are one. I mean, once you go through the, you know, nobody goes through the 32nd to the 33rd degree Freemason. Well, 33rd degree is honorary anyway. They give that to people who don't go through the degrees. But the actual degrees go up to 32. Even if you're a 32, it doesn't technically mean you're going to be a 33rd. It goes up to 32. But nobody gets up to that level and just goes, "No, I quit and I'm not a Mason anymore." Well, you've already gone through the degrees. Once you're a 32nd degree, you can't just say, "I'm not one anymore. Oh, no, I used to be a Mason, man, but, you know, I'm cool now." No! "I used to be a rapist, but it's cool, dude. I won't butt rape you. I'm not a butt rapist anymore. I quit that. I quit all that mess." So it's unbelievable that I think they're getting close to playing some kind of alien card soon. Anybody else feel me on that? It's unbelievable the fever pitch they're getting with this alien stuff. And it seems to me, anybody else also think it's odd that, you know, all this stuff about, "Oh, we can't go back to the moon, or our space shuttle sucks, and we're, you know, decommissioning the space shuttle, and we're going to have to borrow one from Russia, blah, 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 blah. We got to cut all this spending for science, you know, we're SETI's out of here, we're killing the SETI program." But yet, just as they announced they're killing the SETI program, we start to see more reports that there are more new active searching for extraterrestrials, or actively searching for them with new programs. Now, I thought they were broke. I thought they couldn't afford to do all this stuff. Why all of a sudden are they, does it seem like they're just in a rush to find aliens? Like, they're spending some serious money. I've got 4 or 5 stories here, maybe, tonight alone, talking about new programs in which they're searching for extraterrestrials. Now, what I would say, based on my 17 years of research and looking at this shit, is that the reason that there's all these new programs all of a sudden, where they're all of a sudden they're looking for extraterrestrials, is they need to build a backstory. If they're getting ready to roll out some, you know, alien invasion scenario on us, it's going to be very important that they have a backstory and an alibi that's airtight. You know, news stories like this, you know, that show, "Well, we reported back at May 13th of 2011 that astronomers were starting to search for alien signals from 86 planets. And during that search, we found our first contact with blah, 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 the extraterrestrials who ended up invading Earth and eating our brains." So that's what all this feels like. So we've got several of these stories here tonight concerning the hunt for extraterrestrial life. And I just have to say, it feels to me very much like, well, a lot of the stories that you have, that you saw coming out prior to 9/11. They were building the backstory. You know, they were warning about terrorism, and they were talking about Osama bin Laden. They were really, if you go back and look at the news prior to 9/11, you can really see. But if you were asleep at that time and not paying attention, you wouldn't have been able to see the events. But that's why people like Bill Cooper and others were able to predict that 9/11, an event like 9/11 was going to happen is because they had been paying attention to what was happening. And so they saw the signs. That's what I think this is. I think this is a huge sign that they're building a backstory to cover their asses on some coming alien scenario thing. Maybe that's what the May 21st thing is. I don't know. Again, like I said last week, though, I think that preacher should, the reason you know the worst is not going to end on May 21st, because if that dude really believed that, he would put his dick up for the chopping block. If the earth doesn't end on May 21st, he gets his dick chopped off. That's a fair deal. Because if it ends, you know, he's going to get to keep his dick, but he's going to be dead anyway. So, hey, fuck it, right? The world doesn't end on May 21st, that guy chops his dick off. Did anybody call that guy and tell him that that's the deal yet? Get on the horn. A massive radio telescope in rural West Virginia has begun listening for signs of alien life on 86 possible Earth-like planets, U.S. astronomers said on Friday. The giant dish began last week pointing toward each of the 86 planets, called from a list of 1,235 possible planets identified by NASA's Kepler Space Telescope, and will gather 24 hours of data on each one. It's absolutely certain that all these stars are habitable and have habitable planetary systems, but they're very good places to look for E.T. I make it sound like they're looking for the, phone help, you can be Reese's Pieces, that's what they make it sound like. Fuck. So there's one. And so they say they're looking for these Earth-like planets, and then boom, today this story comes out. Scientists discover habitable Earth-like planet. Boy, that was fast. That article we just read came out, what, Saturday, Sunday? So in just, what, a day, 2 days, they after announcing they were, you know, searching in the zone for a habitable Earth-like planet, now they claim they found one. London Telegraph. Scientists discover habitable Earth-like planet. A rocky world orbiting a nearby star has been confirmed as the first planet outside our solar system to meet key requirements for sustaining life. Backstory, folks, backstory. You hear this? They're building a backstory. So they can prove in textbooks and history books and everything else, scientifically, oh, this is where the aliens originated from, blah, 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 even if they hoax it. And I don't necessarily believe that, you know, if there is an alien invasion that we should automatically believe that they're, that the government's faking it and it's all fake and it's holograms and blue beam and all this other stuff. I don't think we should automatically believe that. But I also don't believe that we should automatically assume and believe that they're real aliens either. Understand? Modeling of planet Galois 581D shows it has the potential to be warm and wet enough to nurture Earth-like life. It orbits a red dwarf star called Galois 581, located about 20 light years from Earth, which makes it one of our closest neighbors. Galois 581D orbits on the outer fringes of the star Goldilocks zone, where it is not so hot that the water boils away, nor so cold that the water is perpetually frozen. Instead, the temperature is just right for water to exist in liquid form. So they're saying that that's where they possibly found this out now. And here's another one, Daily Mail. The inhospitable terrain where NASA hopes to land the new Mars rover and hunt for extraterrestrial life. So they're sending a new Mars rover to Mars to look for more extraterrestrial life on Mars. You see this? See how they're building this up? Why is there so many resources going towards this? We can't get a fucking shuttle off the ground. We can't get back to the moon, but we could do it with primitive technology in, you know, the late 60s. But we have all these resources to just, you know, everything else is going on in the world and all this money is being spent towards not feeding people or ending wars or anything else, but to claim they're hunting all these different places for extraterrestrial. What are they looking for? Why is it so important that they find extraterrestrials all of a sudden? You see, the only explanation there could be for that question is the reason they're looking so hard is they need something to have concrete evidence to back up the bullshit story they're going to claim on where these alleged aliens are coming from. So there's another one. Here's another one. My goodness. The world's first satellite, the size of a loaf of bread is to explore the final frontier with one task. I wonder what task that could be. Anybody got any guesses? Yep. To hunt down extraterrestrial life. Four news stories in one night about different programs, not the same, not, you know, different news stories talking about the same program. We're talking about different news stories talking about different programs, all with the goal of finding extraterrestrial life. I mean, obviously, they need some sort of explanation, quick, fast, and in a hurry for something that's about to reveal itself to planet Earth. You know, maybe they're aware that something's about to reveal itself to us that they can't control, and they're going to try to use the corporate media to spin the perimeters of whatever's about to happen that they can't control it. You see what I mean? I mean, if aliens reveal themselves to us, they'll use their propaganda machine to make sure that they, you know, we still think the way they want us to think. Don't think that would stop. Oh, no. The nano satellite will launch next year with the sole purpose of finding exoplanets beyond our solar system, which could support life like Earth. So a little size of a loaf of bread thing floating out there to find alien life. Just all of a sudden, that's the most important issue that mankind can take upon itself. Crazy stuff. We're going to take a break, come back, and get into reading from William Bramley tonight, chapter 35. I may have a couple of more news stories. We'll see. I think I got a few more on the stack here I might want to hit. But also love to hear from you as well. If you've got a question, if you've got a comment, and thanks to everybody who always sends in comments and stuff. I love you guys. You guys always send in great stuff. But yeah, most definitely. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. We'll take a break, come back. This is the Global Reality, folks. Late Night Moonbat Edition. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Back here with you on Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us tonight. And we're going to get into, we got a couple of more news stories here I need to get into. So I want to just touch on them real quick. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on just these last few I've got here. And then we're going to get into chapter 35 for you tonight. Saint Germain returns out of William Bramley's The Gods of Eden. So thanks for staying up late with us tonight. We're glad you could join us. Hope you'll continue to tell people about the Global Reality and about my work that I try to do here with the radio show and the films and all that stuff. Had a lot of stuff going on personally with my family and stuff lately, and that's sort of what's going on with me right now. So, you know, bear with me, and you know, as all things in life, this will pass, and Yeah, please send the good energy and the good vibes towards the way of me and my family. Thanks to those people out there that have. We've got a lot of great emails from people, and thank you so much to everybody out there. It's been real kind. It's just some real great things. So thanks to everybody out there for their support. And again, please donate and support our work, folks, so we can pay the bill. I just remembered I got to pay the fucking stream bill today. I forgot it was due today. The past couple of weeks have just been weird. I don't even know what day it is anymore. It's so strange. What fucking day is it? Wednesday on Sunday. Well, what the fuck? Oh, it's weird. I got to remember to do that. I got to remember to pay the bill. Chipping matters there for the bills for the month. And the donate button is there. I had somebody saying they had wonky issues over the weekend or something. But again, just use my direct PayPal address, dayglow76@yahoo.com, if you have that problem again. Dominique Strauss-Kahn, yeah, I guess I hadn't done a show since all that whole fiasco broke out. Can't say I'm surprised. I remember when I covered the story when I guess it was 2008, I think. I don't think I'd been on the air very long when Dominique Strauss-Kahn was brought in. I was like, oh, great, another, you know, Fox investigating the hen house. Let's put another criminal in charge of the big, you know, the International Monetary Fund. Personally, I think Strauss-Kahn's been stonewalling these pricks for the past 2 or 3 years. I mean, yeah, he's a Zionist. Yeah, he's a piece of shit, but I think he's been delaying a lot of the inevitable things on behalf of, you know, banksters and hedge fund managers and all these other Wall Street tycoons and clowns. Because it does seem that under the IMF, under Dominic Strauss-Kahn has been all talk. I mean, really, they've talked, you know, every other month we covered a story here about them. You know, IMF calls for a basket of currency, one world currency system, blah, blah, blah. But that's exactly what it's been. It's been all talk. It's been no action. I think the level of the agenda that they're at now, they're ready to see some of this stuff start moving a lot quicker. And I think with, you know, Dominic Strauss-Kahn in there stonewalling for private interests, that, you know, they most likely had to set him up with something he wasn't going to be able to get out of so they can put somebody in there that is, you know, hand-selected, that they know will do the job and get the job done on behalf of the global power structure. So that's my take on that, in case anybody asks. Listen to this. You're not going to believe this. You know, we've talked about here the Blackwater connection with the Council for National Policy, obviously with Edgar and Elza Prince, father of Eric Prince, being on the board of directors of the Council for National Policy at its formation. I mean, these are the real deal priest class, bloodline, white, you know, supremacist bastards. This is them. This is why these white supremacist associated motherfuckers, you know, in Truth Radio and stuff, don't want to talk about the CMP. And I've noticed a lot lately that it's unbelievable. You guys would not believe the shit that I had to go through when I first started talking about the CMP. Nobody would touch it. Nobody. I got laughed at, called every name. Now look at it. Unbelievable. Everybody, it's nomenclature now. It's become a part of the conversation, which is all I ever wanted to do. Just trying to get people to look at it and understand that this is important. And these guys are initiating a new crusade. They do want to wipe out the Muslim community. Listen to this. The United Arab Emirates prince hires Blackwater founder to set up a foreign force. Oh my goodness. See, that's what I'm saying. At the highest levels, you understand the princes and the Blackwater and the priest class and the CMP and all these guys, you notice they're not killing Saudi princes and United Arab Emirates princes, and they don't call them Al-Qaeda. Why is that? Well, look into their bloodlines. Their bloodlines intersperse into the Jewish bloodlines, into the Sephardic, because, of course, Muslims, Arabs, Jews, Sephardics. And that's why they're allowed to, you know, be the princes and everything else. These guys just, you know, you realize these guys just set up, took over pieces of land and made themselves king, right? And then just passed it down hereditarily. I mean, it's the same old thing that's been going on for hundreds of thousands of years. But at the highest levels, you know, when you get up to the level of Eric Prince and the level of, you know, United Arab Emirates Prince, the whole thing of, you know, Christian or Catholic or whatever have you versus, you know, Arab and Muslim, that doesn't even exist, man. Because they're elite and their bloodline at those highest levels, those fights are what happens on the exterior for the world and for the sheep to pay attention to, you see. Behind closed doors, these guys are all on the same side. The Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi has hired the founder of the private security firm Blackwater Worldwide to set up an 800-member battalion of foreign troops for the United Arab Emirates, the New York Times reported on Sunday. The Times said it obtained documents that show the unit being formed by Eric Prince's new company, Reflex Responses, with the $529 million. $529 million from the United Arab Emirates would be used to thwart internal revolt, conduct special operations, and defend oil pipelines and skyscrapers from attack. Well, see, I think that's what they're going to do with Dubai eventually. I mean, Dubai is Babylon. You don't understand. It talked about how, you know, for the, you know, the prophecy to be fulfilled and all that stuff, that Babylon had to be destroyed. Well, you know, you had Saddam Hussein, who called himself the reincarnation of King Nebuchadnezzar over there, trying to rebuild the temple there of Babylon in what is now Iraq. And what did they do? Well, they shelled the hell out of the place, and then they went into where he was, you know, setting that up at and bulldozed it in. So I think they're setting up, yeah, I think that's why they put that, you know, the Tower of Babel spires and all that stuff in Dubai. You guys have seen that, those big, I mean, what do you think that is? They're creating a new Babylon so they can then tear it down later. I think that's what's going to happen. The newspaper said that the United Arab Emirates' decision to hire the contingent of foreign troops was taken before a wave of popular unrest spread in the Arab world in recent months. So these guys are all just, you know, working together, rubbing each other's backs now. Last news story of the night here, we'll get into Bramley for you. This is another one I think ties into what we were discussing earlier with this apparent need to create a backstory for new information and new shocking revelations that are going to make themselves apparent to mankind very soon. Now, we've covered several of these stories over the past several months. It does seem there's a ramp up of this. Again, you know, whether or not you believe the what's talked about with Project Bluebeam is real, or whether you believe it's a hoax or anything of that nature, you know, I believe it's possible to be both. That's my standpoint on it. Very well could be real. I mean, a lot of technology exists. I mean, it's there, man. The patent documents are there for, you know, this space-based holographic technology and this blue beam stuff and the voice-to-skull technology. I mean, it's all there. It exists. So it's hard to deny that. But whether or not they're going to play out this blue beam scenario that was talked about or not, I don't know. And I don't know if that's a real thing or whether it's, that was disinfo put out there to get us to, you know, as a sort of a red herring or, you know, a honeypot type situation. I don't know. But the one thing that I did key in on about the Project Bluebeam thing, and I've absolutely seen this in almost 4 years of doing radio and looking at the news day in and day out, hundreds of news stories every single day for, you know, well over 4 years. Even before I was doing radio, I was doing that for years. But just since then, I've seen a mass amount of news stories that support the idea that was talked about in these alleged Project Bluebeam documents about how prior to getting to ready to roll out, you know, the phony aliens, there would be revelations that would be made through archaeological discoveries and through, you know, different scientific realms that would change, they specifically said would change what mankind believes about who we are, what we are, and where we came from. And we've seen that. New civilizations found, you know, they keep pushing it back farther and farther. Go, you know, Göbekli Tepe and on and on and on. We keep finding more and more evidence that pushes things back, and also things that support this idea that the Sumerian text talked about how the Anunnaki created, the custodians created these different races as slave labor and then spread them out to different parts of the world. And that's there in the ancient Sumerian text, but I think for many years, the scientific community has just, you know, ignored that. Many people do try to ignore that. But we're starting to see more evidence that definitely proves that to be the case. This from the Daily Mail. Stone tools found near Russia's Arctic Circle may prove Neanderthals lived 8,000 years longer than previously thought. Now, this is unbelievable. Scientists have identified what may be one of the last northern refuges of Neanderthals, a spot near the Arctic Circle in Russia with artifacts dated to 31,000 to 34,000 years ago. Experts currently believe, that Neanderthals died out between 37,000 and 40,000 years ago. So the latest stone artifacts may mean that they actually lived for a further 8,000 years than previously thought. Stone tools and flakes found there look like the work of Neanderthals, the stocky, muscular hunters who lived in Europe and Western Asia until they were replaced by modern humans. I That's an interesting choice of words, don't you think? See, they're throwing it in our faces now, guys. You understand this? They are fucking throwing it in our faces, man. This is how arrogant they're getting. Did you hear that? See, most people would just glaze right by that and think nothing of it, wouldn't they? Let me read that for you again. The stocky, muscular hunters who lived in Europe and Western Asia until they were replaced, key word there, until they were replaced by modern humans, mirroring exactly what these ancient Sumerian texts talk about, that is indeed what happened. They were genetically engineered, genetically crossbred, and then summarily replaced. Wow, that's just unbelievable right there. That's just right at the tip of your nose, isn't it? It's mind blowing to me that your average person would just overlook that. But wow. So yeah, it does seem that is something's big on the agenda. Something's coming around the corner, man. They're planning something. They're aware of something. I think we're here. I think the age of awakening is upon us. I think that's why they're driving and ramping up this fear and this terrorism stuff right now. They want people's energy focused towards that so that we don't manifest the positive. They want us to manifest the negative. And if we can get people to understand that all this phony terror stuff is a creation of these clowns and all this war is to get us to divide it against each other so we're not united against them. I can't think of a more accurate statement than that. They want us divided against each other so that we're not united against them. And all the evidence points in the direction that is indeed the case and has been for thousands of years. Keep us divided against each other so we're not united against them. It's crazy, man. I think that's what's happening here. I think that there's something's coming down the pike big, and they're really scrambling trying to be able to control the perimeters of whatever new revelations are going to make themselves known to all of us very soon. Very soon. All right, nothing else in the email bag tonight. Let's jump into some Bramley tonight, shall we? Chapter 35 here, William Bramley's The Gods of Eden, Saint Germain Returns. Drink here, so you'll be good to go. The upheavals of the early 20th century convinced many people that the judgment day was at hand. Many Christians and mystics anticipated an imminent second coming of Christ. True to prophecy, it came. Heralding Jesus' second coming was the resurrected Count of Saint Germain, the mysterious Brotherhood agent of the 18th century whose activities we followed in chapter 26. After Saint Germain's reported death in 1784, he was made to seem physically immortal. In the early 1930s, a man named Guy Warren Ballard claimed that Saint Germain had spoken to him on a mountain in California. That conversation gave birth to an interesting new branch of the Brotherhood that would not only sponsor the return of Saint Germain, but also the reappearance of Jesus Christ. Guy Warren Ballard was a mining engineer. In 1930, he went on a business trip to Mount Shasta in Northern California. Ballard had become interested in mysticism for his trip, and he wanted to use his off-duty hours at Mount Shasta to unravel rumors about the existence of a secret branch of the Brotherhood called the Brotherhood at Mount Shasta. Yeah, it's just like Shambhala, which is in the Himalayas. It's Shambhala in the West. That's what's at Mount Shasta, inside of the mountain and underground, allegedly. The Shasta Brotherhood was said to have a secret underground headquarters inside the famous California Mountain. Yeah, absolutely. The legends which had caught Mr. Ballard's interest had been circulating before the turn of the century. Persistent rumors told of secret dwellers living inside Mount Shasta who practiced a profound mystical tradition. The secret dwellers were said to be descended from inhabitants of the ancient lost continent of Lemuria in the Pacific Ocean. Whatever the truth behind such legends may or may not be, it is unquestioned that Mount Shasta has long been a focus of mystical activity. Associated with that mystical activity has been a significant UFO phenomenon. For example, in the May 1931 issue of the Rosicrucian Digest, published in the year following Mr. Ballard's trip to Shasta and a decade and a half before UFOs were popularized in the media, we read the following description of a flying boat in an article about the Shasta mystics. Many testify to having seen the strange boat or boats which sail the Pacific Ocean and then rise at its shores and sail through the air to drop again in the vicinity of Shasta. This same boat was seen several times by the officials employed at the cable station located near Vancouver, and the boat had been sighted as far north as the Aleutian Islands. According to the same article, the boat has neither sails nor smokestacks. Against this background, Mr. Ballard's experience on Mount Shasta takes on added significance. Mr. Ballard writes that he had hiked up the side of the mountain and paused by a spring. As he bent down to fill a cup with water, he felt an electrical current passing through his body from head to foot. Looking around, he saw behind him a bearded man who looked to be in his 20s or 30s. The stranger later introduced himself as the Count of Saint Germain. As a result of this meeting, Mr. Ballard began a full-time career spreading the teachings of the new Saint Germain. Ballard established the I Am Foundation, an organization with secret initiations and step-by-step teachings. Mr. Ballard claims that he had been introduced to members of the highest levels of the Brotherhood under which the IM was founded. The tales Mr. Ballard tells of his experiences with Saint Germain are so extraordinary that many people have derided them as fantasy. Surprisingly, when we strip away the interpretations with which both Mr. Ballard and his critics give to his experiences, we find that his stories present a picture not only consistent with the rest of the history as we have been viewing, but they add remarkable new claims to with rather startling implications for our own time. The initial meetings between Ballard and Saint Germain took place between August and October 1930. During the earliest of those meetings, Saint Germain had Ballard drink a liquid which caused a strong physical reaction and made Ballard go out of his body. Yeah, fucking ayahuasca, DMT. Hello? What do you think he gave him? This same out-of-body phenomenon is often reported by people taking strong drugs. Well, DMT is the only one that specifically does that. That's what it does. It's the closest thing to experiencing death you can experience while still being alive. And that's a full DMT experience. One of which I have yet to have, but hope to have one eventually. But yeah, I've done just about I have done every other psychedelic pretty much other than that. After imbibing this fluid on several occasions, Ballard said that he was able to go out of body without the drink. This testimony is consistent with other evidence indicating that once a person learns to go out of body, it can become easy to do for a time. Ballard alleges that while he was in some of his out-of-body states, Saint Germain, who was also out of body, took him to some remarkable places. One locale was a mountain in the Teton Range of Wyoming, a mountain Mr. Ballard calls the Royal Teton. According to Ballard, there was a sealed tunnel entrance near the top of a mountain that led to elevators. The elevators took their occupants to a location 2,000 feet down into an underground complex of huge halls, storage spaces, and mines. This is the 1930s. So they've had these underground bases for a lot longer than we think we've had the technology to be able to do it. You understand that? Listen to this. In one of the large underground rooms, Mr. Mallard claims that he saw an all-seeing eye symbol on the wall. Well, you know, he's just going to hallucinate that detail, and it'd be that accurate? Give me a break. There was also a large machine, which Mr. Mallard described as a disc of gold, at least 12 feet in diameter, filling it so that the points touched the circumference, and blazed a 7-point star composed entirely of yellow diamonds, a solid mass of brilliant golden light. Around the main disc were 7 small discs, which Ballard gave symbolic meaning to. Mr. Ballard quickly and revealed, however, that this large machine was not a mere symbol. As I learned later, at certain times for special purposes, great cosmic beings pour through these discs their powerful currents of force. Great cosmic beings was the term used by Ballard to denote leaders at the highest echelons of the Brotherhood. In his writings, Mr. Ballard claims that some of the Brotherhood's great cosmic beings are of extraterrestrial origin. Ballard was told that the currents of force emitted by the machine were directed to the humanity of Earth. The purpose? The radiation effects, the 7 ganglomic centers, the nerve centers outside the brain and spinal cord, within every human body on our planet, as well as all animal and plant life. This is an astonishing claim, for it would mean that powerful electronics were being used by the Brotherhood's great cosmic beings to affect the human nervous system on a widespread scale. Well, that would mean also, ladies and gentlemen, that because that's what HARP can do. Look into the work of Dr. Nick Begich. He's talked about that. It's absolutely proven you can affect human nervous systems with electromagnetic pulses with something on the scale of HARP. So did this guy witness an already existing HARP facility? Again, in a time when, you know, we're told we didn't have technology to do such things. That would also explain that, you know, the guy that was dressed like a woman in drag talking on a phone during the Charlie Chaplin, outside the Charlie Chaplin film, wouldn't it? It's unbelievable. It says that, according to I Am Foundation magazine, the purpose of the radiation was behavior modification designed to consume and purify the vortices of force produced by the discordant and vicious activities of mankind. The idea of behavior modification through electronic radiation is by no means an absurd one. In recent years, the Soviet Union has been deploying and using electronic tranquilizing machines to behaviorally affect large populations. Such devices are also being proposed for classroom use in the United States. We will discuss those devices in an upcoming chapter. Although the alleged purpose of the Royal Teton radiation machine was to reduce discordant human activity, such radiation will usually have the opposite long-term effect because the emanations are actually irritants to the central nervous system, even if they do cause a superficial sedation. It's perhaps ironic that within less than a decade after Ballard wrote of his experience, the world exploded into one of the bloodiest conflicts, World War II. Either the machine of the great cosmic beings did not work, or it did. In his first books, Mr. Mallard claims to have visited 4 secret underground locations altogether, 2 of them while out of his body, and 2 by regular human means. Interestingly, each location corresponded to a region in which there existed earlier in history a major civilization worshiping the custodial gods. Imagine that. See, you start to understand the origins of these underground bases. They weren't just put there by our military. They weren't just put there in modern times. These were already existing structures, and they later added on to them. You know, what's under Denver and what's in the deserts, all these different places. In fact, I believe that's what, I believe they did that here in Dallas as well. Because when they were digging the sewer systems for the city of Dallas, when Dallas was first being built, they discovered underneath Dallas this long, long, long networking of a series of tunnels that were laser etched into the solid rock under the ground and stretched for miles, miles and miles and miles and miles. Well, in the 1980s, they were planning on putting what eventually became CERN. At that time, they called it the Superconducting Super Collider. It was set to be right here in North Texas in the Dallas area where I live. And Clinton got in office in 92 and they killed the program and that was it. And everybody just blamed it on Clinton and went about their business. And a lot of people lost jobs and job opportunities. People moved from all over to work there. But something happened because they got a good ways done with this thing. They had those big, you know, nuclear drillers that go underground and bore through solid rock. And I believe they hit something. They found something. They ran into something. Because, I mean, dude, think about it. They were going to put what is now CERN right here in Dallas, smack dab on the motherfucking 33rd degree parallel, folks. And they found something there. And I know that this town is very, very, very special to the elite. It's a power center. That's why they did Kennedy here. A similar underground location in South America went hand in hand with the Incan civilization on that continent. A trip by boat and automobile resulted in a stopover at a reputed underground location on the Arabian Peninsula, which matched the ancient Mesopotamian and Egyptian civilizations. The fourth location in the mountains above the city of Darjeeling, India, corresponded to the ancient Aryan civilizations of the Indian supercontinent. The underground locations were reportedly quite expansive and served a number of functions. In addition to holding electronic gadgetry, the caves were reportedly filled with enormous quantities of precious metals and gems. And a lot of people believe this is where that's why they've tried to conquer Afghanistan all these times. You know, every invading army since, you know, what, Attila the Hun has failed and lost in Afghanistan. Do you ever see that movie, The Objective? If you haven't seen the movie, The Objective, you should download that and watch that. These guys go out, you know, these troops go out to Afghanistan. They're looking for something. And, you know, the story is that there's Vermanas and stuff out there. And they talked about, you know, that story 5 or 6 months ago about there being trillion dollar in resources in Afghanistan alone. I mean, it very well could be that that's where the main hub of, you know, the Ascended Masters is operating from. And they're trying to go in there and wipe them out and put their people in, much as the same way that Alice Bailey talks about that they did. She talks about that in her book, Initiation, Human, and Solar, them doing that in the Himalayas at Shambhala. It says that the caves were filled with enormous quantities of precious metals and gems. This is interesting because we know that most of the ancient civilizations worshiping the custodial gods, quote-unquote gods, regularly made substantial offerings of gold, silver, gems, and other precious minerals to these gods. See, that's been another thing. Now, I've always said we have just as much proof that, you know, UFOs or alien craft come from inside of the earth or under the oceans and out of portals, you know, from inside of the earth, as we do that they come from outer space, you know. We just assume that these craft are all coming from outer space, but I don't think that's the whole story. So what he's implying here, what Bramley is implying here is that the reason there was this huge, you know, cache of gold and silver and gems there in these underground caves is because, you know, this is stuff that had been collected by them from all the places they'd gone around the world and convinced the locals that they were the gods. And they went back underground into their, and it was very well could be that that's where the real power structure is, or these, you know, masters who live deep underground in the earth and who have for thousands of years. And it could be that they, you know, that they are the progeny of the people who came here from other star systems. I'm just saying that it very well could be that these gods that we associate with coming from outer space could actually have not been from outer space, but from inner space inside of the earth. Mr. Ballard alleged that the treasures he viewed came from some of those civilizations. In these containers, gold is stored from the lost continents of Mu and Atlantis, the ancient civilizations of the Gobi and Sahara deserts, Egypt, Chaldea, Babylonia, Greece, Rome, and two others. It has generally been assumed by historians that the ancient offerings went to the priest class. If, however, we take the existence of the custodial gods seriously, it is more likely that the gods really did carry the stuff away. Mr. Ballard's testimony would indicate that a great many of the precious stones and metals were stored by the gods in an inaccessible underground location on Earth, perhaps to help finance custodial activities and to keep the corrupted Brotherhood functioning. Maybe that's what the rock wall is. I know Ashiana Dean was asked, the famous channeler, was asked a question about the mysterious rock wall in Rockwall, Texas, and that's what she said it was, or the entity that she allegedly channels that said that's what it was. A storehouse for ancient technology after the fall of Atlantis. Precious metals and stones were expensive largely because of artificial scarcity. Also, I would like to add, if that is indeed true, that that was a storehouse for things, and they were indeed storing gold and metals there, that could be it, couldn't it? Rock wall very well could be that. Now that I think about it, wow, I want to stop there for a minute. Mr. Ballard's testimony would indicate that a great many of the precious stones and metals were stored by the gods in inaccessible underground locations on Earth, perhaps to help finance custodial activities and keep the corrupted Brotherhood functioning. Well, my God. Rockwall is not only the smallest county in Texas, it's also the richest, the wealthiest. Like I discovered, they built all those multi-million dollar homes right on the edge of where the wall is. Oh, my God, it all makes sense now. It all makes sense to me now. Oh, my God. Precious metals and stones were expensive largely because of artificial scarcity. When Cecil Rhodes developed his near monopoly on diamond mining in southern Africa, he was able to maintain the high price of diamonds by creating a very rigid channel through which his diamonds were sold. This is still true. The diamond trade today, according to Mr. Ballard, the ascended masters of the Brotherhood intended to keep precious metals and gems scarce. If all this gold were to be released into the outer activity of the world, it would compel sudden readjustment in every phase of human experience. At present, it would not be a part of wisdom. Saint Germain reportedly stated that huge quantities of gold and treasure would be released into the outer world when mankind has transcended its unbridled selfishness. The implication is that these precious gems and minerals exist in sufficient quantities on Earth to cause a dramatic drop in their value if they should all be released into the public domain. A further implication is that they are hoarded and made scarce to preserve the wealth of the Brotherhood. If the treasures do indeed exist, and there were treasure hunters that said they had gone looking for these big, gigantic treasure chests that were built to the size of giants in some of the underground enclosures in the rock wall in Rockwall, Texas. Unbelievable. If the treasures do indeed exist and the Brotherhood is a sizable hidden economic power on Earth, according to Mr. Ballard, this hidden economic might does exist and has been used to influence human activities. During his tour of the Teton location, Saint Germain reportedly told Ballard, "No one in this world ever accumulated a great amount of wealth without the assistance and radiation of some ascended master. There are occasions in which individuals can be used as a focus of great wealth for a specific purpose, and at such times, greatly added power is radiated to them. For through it, they can receive personal assistance. Such an experience is a test and opportunity for their growth. It is certainly true that wealth has traditionally been concentrated into the hands of a small minority. It is also true that many members of that minority throughout history have been affiliated with a mystical Brotherhood network. The problem with this state of affairs would not be the narrow control of wealth. It would be that this control has so often been used to breed war and spiritual decay." During his trips to the alleged underground locations, Ballard was also shown some radio-type gadgets. One such gadget could reportedly tune in on conversations taking place in various parts of the world, including the offices of the Bank of England. As we recall, the Bank of England was one of the earliest institutions founded on the inflatable paper money system. That system was largely the creation of mystics and revolutionaries affiliated with the Brotherhood Network. The Bank of England has continued to be a principal center of that system up until today. This alleged eavesdropping capability of Mr. Ballard's ascended masters is therefore remarkable because it would indicate a direct monitoring of a principal central bank in the international paper money system by top echelons of the Brotherhood. This becomes even more interesting in the next chapter when we consider the assistance that the Bank of England's director, Montague Norman, gave to Adolf Hitler and the German Nazi movement during the very time that this electronic snooping was reportedly occurring. Earlier in this book, we noted the large-scale destruction of irreplaceable religious and historical records in the Eastern and Western hemispheres by zealous Christians. Historians have been able to piece together much of human history anyway, but it is that history. Is that history complete? According to Mr. Ballard, it is not. Mankind lost additional records to Brotherhood leaders who had deliberately removed and hidden the writings. Ballard claims that he saw some of these ancient historical works inside the underground mountain complex north of Darjeeling, India. He added that the records would not be released to the human race until the Ascended Masters so ordered. These records are not brought forth into the use of the outer world of the present time because of lack of spiritual growth and understanding of the people. The race has a restlessness and a critical feeling that is very destructive activity, and this is a very destructive activity. The Ascended Masters of the Great White Brotherhood have always foreseen such destructive impulses, and have withdrawn all important records of every civilization and preserved them, then left the less important to be destroyed by the vicious impulse of the Vandals. If true, the above quote is a stunning admission. Mankind's lack of spiritual growth has been caused by the very organizations to which these alleged ascended masters belong. It was the Brotherhood that turned spiritual knowledge into incomprehensible symbols, unfathomable mysteries, superstitious rites, savage apocalypticisms, and all of the other ills which ensue therefrom. In such circumstances, it is not surprising that human beings would experience a restlessness and critical feeling, and the solution of withholding knowledge would certainly not correct those human deficiencies. Such a solution can only deepen the problem. The claim that important records must be hidden to prevent their destruction is spurious. In Ballard's day, book printing was a well-established art. Any important records could be easily duplicated and mass-produced with the originals safely stored away. If indeed such records, hidden records existed, we must conclude that the only purpose for hiding them was to keep mankind ignorant about the past. Bingo. Bingo. There you go. That's their whole agenda. They want to distract you with the minutiae of the agenda so you don't ever find out what the real agenda is. You see how that's happened throughout the years in the conspiracy research culture? The I Am movement created by Mr. Ballard preached a Judgment Day philosophy and strong anti-communism. Despite attacks from the press and the U.S. government, the IM movement attracted a large following during the late 1930s and early 1940s. The IM taught that communism was the final evil in the world and that it would soon be destroyed by the Ascended Masters. Interestingly, no mention was made of Nazism, which was rapidly growing in Germany at the time. The Ascended Masters and their followers were clearly political creatures. According to Mr. Mallard, members of the Brotherhood were deeply involved in espionage and police organizations in the 1930s. Brotherhood members reportedly served in the American Secret Service, and Mr. Mallard claims that he had met agents of the French Secret Service who were members of the Brotherhood and who called themselves Brothers of the Light. As if the reappearance of Saint Germain in 1930 was not enough, The IM movement hosted another most distinguished speaker, Jesus Christ himself. Jesus was a featured guest in New York on October 24th, 1937, and in Oakland, California on February 18th, 1939. Whether this Jesus was actually a person claiming to be Christ or simply Mr. or Mrs. Ballard acting as mediums to channel the spirit voice of Jesus, I have not been able to discover. Whichever it may have been, may I respectfully submit that this was a bona fide second coming of Jesus, as the custodial religions will probably ever deliver. This second coming in the 1930s was sponsored by the same Brotherhood Network, which had sponsored and betrayed Jesus centuries before, and which has kept alive apocalyptic teachings predicting Jesus' return ever since. Naturally, this newest second coming did not result in thousands of years of peace and spiritual salvation. It really helped set the stage for World War II. The IM movement died down rather quickly after its peak in the 1940s. It is quite small today. It never gained the following or influence that so many other Brotherhood branches had attained. To most people, today's IM Foundation is a little more than a curiosity run primarily by retired people. Indeed, the IM is not important to us for what it is now. It is significant for what it was in the 1930s and 40s. Was Ballard's IM Foundation the concoction of blatant spiritual quacks offering a home-brewed spiritual elixir to people seeking a ray of hope in a world gone awry? Or did Mr. Ballard really meet someone that afternoon in 1930 on Mount Shasta? Was the IEM simply a bit of mystical razzle-dazzle designed to make money for the Ballard family, as critics have maintained? Or did Mr. Ballard's reported experiences offer a rare glimpse into some of the activities of the Brotherhood in the 20th century? It is a pity that Mr. Ballard is not here today to make his confession. Whew, so there you go. There's the end of chapter 35 for you tonight. We'll start on chapter 36 next time on the show, Universe of Stone. Boy, good stuff there tonight. Big, big, big revelations there. Yet again, man, wow. The technology and all this stuff. Definitely go back and read that chapter again or listen to this rebroadcast later, because, man, big time important stuff right there. All right, I want to thank everybody for tuning in and being with us tonight. My website where this broadcast originates from is www.theglobalreality.com. Please support our work if you can. Use the Chivin banner there so we can meet the bills for the goals of the month. Use the donate button if you want to donate to help us grow and buy new equipment. We need all the support we can get right now, folks. So please help us out if you can, all right? My name is Josh Reeves. I love each and every one of you. We'll see you next time for the broadcast. You guys have a great night. Take care.